So talking about baby videos, you know, how many people believe that that baby could get to the top of that thing? I didn't when I started watching it, you know, because it looks so young. And to be that confident, taking that step. But there was something that was mentioned there. It talks about taking a step. One step becomes 10, and then it becomes 1,000. So as long as he keeps taking that step, you know, he kept going forward. Praise the Lord. So that's why I'm talking about taking the next step forward this morning. And I was thinking of what to talk about when Pastor mentioned that I'm going to be, you know, preaching today. And I looked at different verses of the scriptures. I prayed. I thought about it. And then the Lord, you know, just ministered to my heart that what have I been dealing with you on? You know, what have you been working on? Can you go ahead and share that with the church so that the same journey I'm taking you through, I can take them through as well, okay? And I thought about it some more, and I discovered that this is actually the word for now. Because last week, Pastor mentioned about, a couple of weeks now, we've been talking about planting a church at Boosbrook. That is actually a next step forward for our church that the Lord is leading us to. Okay, and that tied into also the message of fishing for a living, where we take that next step in witnessing, you know, to those around us. So I pray that the Lord will touch your heart this morning and give you a word that will move you forward in your spiritual journey. Can you open your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus? Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to read just 5 verses. We're going to be reading from verses 10 to 15. 15. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 15. As I mentioned before, my subject title this morning is Take a Next Step Forward. Take the next step forward. Take the next step forward. Can you help me preach this morning and tell someone sitting next to you? Take the next step forward. What about your second choice? Tell them as well. Take the next step forward. Exodus 14 and verse 10 says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses," let me take a pause there. When the children of Israel cried to the Lord, you know, the usual thing they do is to cry out to Moses, okay? Because they know Moses will go to the Lord on their behalf, okay? So they cry out, and then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians,' you know, and wallow in our pity, and just be slaves forever?" That's my addition, okay? If you can't find that in your Bible. "For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to do what? To go forward. Take the next step forward." So as I mentioned before, you know, at every point in time, I believe, you know, God speaks to the church to take that next step forward, okay? Because it's either the church is moving, stagnant, or taking a step back, okay? Because after some time that you know, the church has been standing in one place, you know, where there is lukewarmness and dryness and coldness, you know, people begin to leave. Do you agree with me? Because no one wants that cold atmosphere at a church. But I tell you this morning that when God is challenging a church to move forward, he's actually challenging the people in the church to move forward. Because it's the people in a church that makes up the church. This church is not just a building. We just gather in a building because that's one of the things we do as Christians. We come together and gather, you know. But we are the people. So God is calling each and every one of us, as he's calling our church to move forward, this morning to move forward, to take that next step in our spiritual walk. I know at the beginning of this year, you know, I had a few things that is on my list of, you know, you can call it resolution. You know, we started with prayer and fasting 7 days as a church, and I listed some of the things, you know, and I know some of you must have done that as well. It's the 6th month, second day of June. We are starting today. I'm sure like me, some of you have not even, you know, taken a step towards fulfilling some of those things on our list. So I'm just here this morning, not to condemn, but just to encourage us, you know, that we need to get to that point where, you know, we take that step. We take that step forward. We take that step forward. But in particular, I'm talking about our spiritual walk with God, because that is the most important. When we get that right, easily, every other areas of our lives just kind of fall into place. Have you noticed that? Every time, you know, you are, you know, in a good relationship with God, you talk to Him, you know, He speaks to you, you know, things kind of fall in place. But when we disconnect from Him, what happens? You know, we start experiencing stagnancy in other areas of our lives. That's why I think it's important we talk about our spiritual walk this morning. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to this story. Let me give you a bit of the setting of what happened here, because we don't have all the time to go through this story. The children of Israel, I know many of you know the story, but just for the sake of those who don't, let me give you a bit of a setting. They have been in slavery in Egypt for years and years. These are the same people, you know, that the Lord calls His people, okay? But through the mighty hand of God, so many miracles He performed in Egypt, you know, to Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh said, okay, just go, just go. And even they went out full. They went and took gold and silver and, you know, and things from the people of Egypt before they left. So just imagine them going out marching, celebrating, singing, victory song. You know, we are marching forward. We are, you know, they are jubilating. Finally free, you know, like some of us are. You know, we give our heart to the Lord and, you know, God freed us from sin, freed us from bondage, you know. Our lives, we begin to experience, you know, a change, a transformation. Things begin to fall in place for us. And then that storm comes. So they got to this place where the Red Sea is at the front. There's mountain on the left, mountain on the right. And then they look back. Okay, maybe if we move back a bit and then cross somewhere, maybe we'll find a way to go forward. And then they saw the chariots of Pharaoh chasing after them. And fear seized them. They've only gone, in fact, I was reading a commentary about this passage of the scripture. They've only traveled 3 days, about 3 days out of Egypt. This is a journey, you know, that they don't even know how long it's going to take them, because the Lord just said, go, I've got a promised land for you. They've only 3 days into their journey when they encounter this great challenge. Praise the Lord. You know, on the surface, it seems that they are hopelessly trapped. No way out, practically. You know, but in the midst of chaos and confusion, you know, the people came to Moses and began to cry to him. As they do so, you know, Moses goes to God and says to God, what do you want me to do? You know, they were even about to stone Moses. They said, it's enough. We are not listening to you anymore. So God tells Moses that there is but one thing to do. Tell them to get up and go forward. Get up and go forward. But the thing with going forward is, you don't just jump forward. When you move forward, you take a step. You take a step. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your next step in your spiritual journey? You know, to our church, the Lord is saying the fields are white and ripe for harvest, because He's the God of harvest. He's the one, he's a farmer. He's the one that is sitting above everything. And He's telling us to rise up, you know, and go do what He has called us to do. He's telling us to forget the past victories, our past mistakes, our past addiction, you know, our past missteps. Maybe we've gone in the wrong direction. And He's saying that we should take that next step forward. To individuals this morning, the Lord is saying, get up, stop wallowing. Some of us wallowing in pity. You know, things didn't work out for me. You know, maybe I lost my marriage. Maybe I lost a job. You know, oh, I'm a single parent. I have to look after this child alone, or this children alone. You know, my family is crumbling, or, you know, things are happening. And then, you know, it can bring a source of discouragement to such people. Some of us are wallowing in agony, pain of the past. Procrastination, if you are like me. Bitterness, anger, fear. You know, things did not work out, you know. Possibly, maybe in your place of work, in your relationship, you know. And you are still staying. You are like the children of Israel. They've camped out. They've camped. They've camped in that place because they felt there was no way to go forward. Some of us have camped in our comfort, okay, because everything is going good. We don't need God, you know. We don't take anything spiritual serious anymore. So wherever, you know, each of us had this morning, I want to encourage you with God's word this morning. He has me to tell you to take that next step forward. You know, someone said that if you are not dead, you are not done. If you are not dead, you are not done. That means there's still work to do. That means there's still challenges, victories to conquer. That means, you know, greater things are still ahead of you and I. Praise the Lord. And, you know, have you heard of someone in church sit around and complain? They said, oh, the church is too dry. You know, oh, that worship is not good. Oh, there's no live music. There's no, you know, they just say all sort of things, you know, happening at the church. But it doesn't occur to them that maybe God is kind of putting that as a ministry in their heart to step forward and do that thing and make a change in that church. Because revival of a church, you know, some people are praying for revival. Revival of a church begins with personal revival. You know, when the church is vibrant, when the church is healthy, it's because the people in it are healthy and vibrant. It's because the pastors are vibrant and healthy. It's because the leaders are vibrant and healthy. That's what reflects on the church as a whole. Praise the Lord. And that's why this is so important to me this morning. So let's look at that story again. When you fail to take that next step, you know, before I even talk about what when you fail to move to take that next step, when you move forward, what it creates is a platform for God to walk upon our lives. But when you don't take that next step forward, what happens? Look at verse 10 with me. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were afraid. So you stop walking by faith and you start walking by fear when you begin to be stagnant. You know, you start forgetting the promises of God. It's so easy. It's so easy to forget. You know, you stop making progress in your spiritual world. You stop remembering his promises. You stop trusting him. And then the devil begins to put the fear of sickness, of death, of failure, of bankruptcy, you know, to your mind. And you begin to doubt. You begin to be afraid, you know, whether consciously or unconsciously. That's what happens. These children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they had no speck of fear. Remember, they've seen the victories, all the miracles he did before they left. So they were bold. They had great faith in God. They were just excited to go. They were marching out, like I said, singing and rejoicing. So think about it. Sometimes when we are experiencing fear, it may be a good sign that you may have stopped. You might have stopped in your spiritual journey. And we need to check ourselves. Number 2, verse 11. It says, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Then we start murmuring and complaining. This is a sign of no forward progress. It's a sign of stagnation. You know, because if you are moving forward, you know, you won't have time for complaining. You won't have time for murmuring. You won't have time to be looking around at what other people are doing. You won't have time to be comparing yourself with other people because you have a focus. You have a promised land to get to. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't mean nothing is wrong in our lives. It doesn't mean storms are not coming. It comes to the just and the unjust, you know. But, you know that, you know, God that has your life in his hand is still holding it. And you've got your eye on the promised land. The Bible says that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose eyes is stayed on him. And then the next thing that happens, see verse 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it will have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Then you start to think, you start to backslide. You stop coming to church. You stop connecting to God's people, you know. I'm telling you, this is a process. I've seen it happen again and again. It's a sign of stagnancy, you know, because you don't feel connected anymore. There's no drive to wake up in the morning and come out. Because I just can't imagine why they want to go back to Egypt. You know, they were slaves. It's not just slaves. You know, the accounts that we read before they left Egypt was, you know, they will whip them. They have a certain quota of bricks they have to make per day. You know, their children are suffering. You know, the women are suffering. Why will anyone want to go back there? You know? You know, sometimes we reach a point in our lives that we say, okay, I think I would rather just go home to heaven than go back, you know? I thought they've already reached that stage, but obviously they haven't. They were thinking of going back. And then another thing that I picked up from this is sometimes when we are not moving, so I'm talking about, you know, what happens? Why is it important that we move forward? Think about the children of Israel that day. There were millions of them, right? So the fourth thing is that sometimes when you don't take that next step forward, you know, you are hindering someone behind you from going forward. Imagine the people, maybe there are rows of maybe up to 50, you know. If the people at the front are not moving forward, do you think the people at the back can move? They can't. It's scary. It's scary, you know, to think that thought when God ministered that to me, that sometimes when we fail to take that next step in our spiritual journey, we are hindering. Think about it, moms and dads. We might be hindering our children from making a stand for the Lord because we are not moving, because we are stagnant. The people that the Lord has put in your sphere of influence, you know, maybe you are meant to be a teacher at Kiss Church, you know, and you keep procrastinating, you keep pushing it forward, you know. Those kids are missing out. Think about it. That word that you can speak to their hearts, that they will remember all their lives, you know. They are waiting for you to tell them. Praise the Lord. Maybe God has called you to be an intercessor, you know. Someone is suffering because you are not standing in the gap on their behalf, you know. So we might be hindering some people from moving forward if we don't. And then when you don't go forward, we prevent ourselves from experiencing the miraculous. So as the story continues, the Lord told Moses, put your rod on the water. And you all know the story. The water parted and they walked through dry sea. They experienced the miraculous. And as the Egyptians, Hami, you know, tried to get after them, they were all destroyed. They perished in that water. What amazing, miraculous, you know, manifestation of the power of God that we miss out when we don't take that step forward. I tell you, people of God, God is waiting for us to take that next journey, to take that next step in our lives. You know, He's waiting for us. Moving forward also creates, you know, it creates a platform for God to bring a separation. Can you imagine the separation? The Egyptians in the Red Sea and those people of God on the other side. It creates a separation, you know, a setting apart, you know, when we step forward. Praise the Lord. Set us apart for God to bless us. Set up a path so that, you know, when people see God's work in our lives, you know, they want to know Him. You know, praise the Lord. It's also when we take that next step is when we fulfill purpose and make eternal impact. You know, we make an eternal impact. I want to keep going because of our time. So what I want to ask you, what is next for you in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual journey? What is the next step for you? You know, some of you might be, you know, to commit. By commit, I mean, some of you, it's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I tell you, not everyone that comes to church every Sunday have made that personal decision, okay? So for some of us sitting here this morning, you know, the Bible says it's only Him that is not those who call Him Lord. You know, it's only Him who knows, you know. If you need to take that spiritual journey, it will be a privilege for me to lead you to the throne of grace this morning, to take that next step in your spiritual journey. Some of us is to grow deeper, you know, by studying His word. It's to grow deeper by spending time in prayer. It's to grow deeper, you know, in our step at knowing God. Renew our love for Him. You know, it's only for us as Christians, it's only the love of God that doesn't change. The Bible says the love of many will wax cold. So our love for God can wax cold if we don't do anything about it. It's only God's love that is unchanging, no matter what we do. Think about it. For some of us, commitment means to find freedom to tackle that pain, to tackle that hurt, to forget about that mistake, to ask for forgiveness for that sin, to repent of that misstep and allow Jesus to wipe out the shame, the regret of yesterday, to wipe it away permanently. For some, to commit is to commit to receiving healing in your body. Whatever it is that is making you stagnant, that is making you, preventing you from stepping forward. Maybe healing in your mind, healing in your body, healing in your heart. Freedom from bad habits. Freedom from addiction. Some of us need to find freedom. Some of us have to find freedom from procrastination, freedom from fear. And then we take a step and pray that prayer that Paul said. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. When we know him, we experience that power, that freedom that is found in Christ. Praise the Lord. For some, your next step might be, maybe you are doing well with your commitment. For some, it might be just to connect. Some of us have been coming to church weeks and weeks now, but we've not really made a connection with anyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And Hebrews 10:25, I think most of us, know that scripture. It says, don't forsake the assembling of one another, but exalting one another. So we need connection. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, when Jesus appointed 72 and then sent them out two by two ahead of him. God calls us out alone, but when he sends us out, and walks through us to other people, he doesn't do it alone. He doesn't want you to do it alone. He wants you to do it with other people. I want to encourage you this morning, if that is your next step in your spiritual work, take that step forward and connect. Connect with this church family, Go deeper. Get to know someone. Praise the Lord. We are here. When I read that verse in 1 Corinthians 12, because we are here to support each other. Imagine if it's just you, it's just you that know Christ, you even begin to doubt your faith because no one else is there for you, I like it when I go through things and I can go to some women in this church and tell them this is how I feel. And I always come back refreshed, recharged, Some of us, things are happening in our family that, we can't even handle alone. But just if you have connected to the family of God, you know they are there for you. You know they are not the kind of people that will go all out and be telling all others about what you are going through. These are the people that will stand with you and pray with you. And that's why it beats me sometimes when, we as a family of God, things happen, good things happen to us. We come out here and testify, right? To the glory of God. And then we go through challenges, we stay away from church. We want to do it alone. It doesn't work that way. When one member suffers, they suffer with it. We are here to support one another. Praise the Lord. I know there's an offense in church that people, we are not perfect people, right? But I tell you, it's a way of growing us. It's also a way of growing us. So if that is your next step in your spiritual walk, go ahead and take that step. Go deeper, connect. And that leads me to the last one. Contribute. Some of us has the next step. We need to step out and discover our purpose. How do you discover purpose? You discover purpose by trying. Most of the time, you try something else. It's not like God will just come with you and appear to you and say, go, my child, go and start preaching, I found myself here today just by doing things and as I'm doing the little that God put in my hand, God keeps taking me forward. God keeps taking me forward. I started by just sweeping the church, coming to clean the church, organize chairs. When I got born again at uni, so we don't have a building, okay? So we have a fellowship. So somebody has to come and set up and get it ready for other people. I've been doing that since I was in uni. I'm still doing it now. But I've seen the Lord take me from that point, and, I've grown. I've grown. I'm still doing it, because it's not like I enjoy cleaning, If you come to my house, you will know that I don't enjoy cleaning. but I know, it's a kind of job that not many people want to do. And it's a great privilege to do it in the house of God. But like I said, God has helped me to grow, you know. From there, you know, I started, I joined the prayer team in my fellowship, you know. And one day, Pastor Joe, by the way, was my leader at the time. I prayed for him. And he called me to lead prayer. I'm like, what? Me? What am I going to say? And he said, you know, but you've been praying. Have you been praying at your hostel? I said, yes. Yeah, come and share with us what you've been praying about. And we'll pray about it as well. And from there, you know, look at what God has done today, you know. But if you don't take that step forward to connect, to commit, to know God more, you know, to contribute, you can't get there. Praise the Lord. And this is what makes eternal impact when we go step out and fulfill our purpose. That God, because I believe, like the Lord told Jeremiah, that before I knew you, before I formed you, I knew you. And I set you apart to be a prophet to the nations. You are made for a purpose. God made you for a purpose on purpose. God made you on purpose for a purpose. Okay? We are not just saved for just to make heaven, okay? He wants us to make heaven, but he also wants us to enjoy here and make an impact before we go. Praise the Lord. So if that next step is for you to join a team, to give your time, your talent, your finances to the furtherance of the kingdom, then take that step. Romans 12, chapter 12 and verse 4, you know, to 11, if you can read that later, it says that, for we have many members in one body. And at the end, it says, let us use them. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That is God's will for us. Praise the Lord. So what we're taking the next step, as I round up this morning, what we're taking the next step require? Taking the next step will require you to evaluate. To evaluate. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the Lord. Test yourselves. I just read the first part of that verse. We need to take a personal spiritual inventory of where you are at. Who you want to become, where you are going, search, think, you know, and write it down. Habakkuk 2:2 says that, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Write it down, you know. What's your next step? What's your next step? In fact, you know, I've mentioned a lot of things, but I want you to commit in your heart to one, just one this morning, just one. Commit to taking one step in some of the things I've mentioned today. Okay, commit to one. Simplify your schedule to fit it in. Because, you know, sometimes the best way to progress in life is to choose the important over the urgent. Do first thing first. Okay? If for you, you know, your next step in your spiritual life is knowing God more, you know, knowing God more, then the first thing on your list every morning is spending time in prayer, is spending time in Bible study, even if it's just a verse a day that you can think about and meditate on. Taking the next step requires evaluation. It requires you admitting your mistakes, admitting your weaknesses, admitting your failures, admitting victories but forgetting them and looking forward. Taking the next step requires a desire. It requires a desire. Let me show you a scripture in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. And this one is from the New Living Translation, Philippians 2:13. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. What awesome news is that? God is the one that gives me the desire. You know, one of the things that I've been, you know, that was on my list this year is to lose weight. How many people have that on their list? I think most women, we raise up their hands here. I think so far, you can tell for yourself how far I've gone. So I saw this verse and I rejoiced. And I decided, Lord, I'm going to pray for a desire. Because you are the one that will give me the desire to want to do this. You are the one that gives me the desire and you also give me the power to do it. You can use that scripture to pray. Praise the Lord. Get in the Word. When you get in the Word, it builds up a desire in you. Because Psalm 119, verse 133 says, Lord, direct my steps by your Word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. If you are trying to get over an addiction, get into the Word. Start confessing it over your life, because it will direct your steps by his Word. Pray for a desire. Your prayer will build confidence. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled. And then taking the next steps requires courage. The Lord told Joshua. Joshua was in a similar situation. So fast forward years after, the children of Israel experienced this victory. You know, they kept moving on. And Moses died and Joshua took over. They were about to enter the promised land. They've come out of the wilderness, you know. And Joshua took over the lead. And the first thing God will tell Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, I think I didn't want to read that before, but I think we'll just have a quick look at Joshua chapter 1. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. God is telling you and I this morning that taking the next step forward requires courage. It requires courage. God might be telling you to do something, you know, that requires a big faith. You know, you need courage. You need courage to take that next step. You need courage to observe, to be obedient to whatever direction the Lord is leading you. He says, be strong, be courageous, that you may observe to do. You need that courage to be able to do God's will. Praise the Lord. And lastly, we need to be able to take that next step. It requires dependence on God's help, dependence on God's grace, dependence on God's empowerment. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The word God lays on our pastor's heart this year for us, Isaiah 41, verse 10, says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That is God's, that is a promise. You can literally take it, you know, and put it somewhere and see it every day. And that should be enough motivation. That is my motivation as I step out of this place this morning. I will not fear. I will not be dismayed. I'm taking this next step. You know, it doesn't have to be a huge leap. It's not a huge leap. It's not running I'm talking about. It's just that little step. As you take that little step, you find out that you take another little step. And you look back, you're like, okay, I've moved forward. Praise the Lord. So as I round up this morning, what is next for you in your spiritual life? Your spiritual walk with God. What is next? What is that next step you need to take? Think about it. Write it down. Pray about it. Pray for a desire. Pray for courage. Take that courage and depend on God for help. I pray that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. And this morning we're going to take communion. If the kids can come out. Because I believe there is power in the blood of Jesus. And that is why I think it's better. Let's take this communion after we finish the word today. Can we open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. We've said that we need dependence on God. We need help from God. And as we come to the table this morning, that is what I want you to come to the table to do. That as you are partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus this morning, pray. As you go back to your seat, pray for that help. Pray for that desire. Hebrews 9, 13, 14 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. So that means the blood of bulls and goats, you know, in those days, do all these things. But it says, how much more? I underlined that in my Bible. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This emblem before us this morning, representing the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus, is enough to cleanse us, is enough to purify us, is enough to push us forward to serve the living God. Do you agree with me this morning? And that popular scripture that we always read, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 to 28, talking about, you know, the communion, it says when you come out, Before you take communion, examine yourself. That is one of the things I've mentioned today. Evaluate yourself. Where do you need help? Where do you need a push forward to take that next step? That is what we are praying about today as we take this communion. Praise the Lord. But I want to show you one last verse from Revelation. It says, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That phrase, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. If you need to overcome something, you need freedom from something in your life this morning, come to the table. Come to the table this morning and ask the Lord to help you to overcome. Praise the Lord. And you take that cup, you take the bread, you go back to your seat and start praying about those things. And start asking God, help me to move forward. Empower me to move forward. I need to find freedom. Free me from what is setting me back. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to move forward. I want to experience victory in my life. Can we start singing this morning? And as the people come out.